A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we're already.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 661, the inaccurately titled No Time to Die.
I gotta tell you, lots of time.
At 2 hours and 43 minutes, there was ample time to die. And yeah. Also, he died. Yeah. So,
Jesus.
What do you mean no time to die? We could have dinner and then die. Right. That's a long...
Could have ordered food, had it brought to the theater, yeah. All kinds of time.
Yeah.
I will say, I know we're going to bust the balls kind of the runtime. It didn't feel like it.
It did not feel like it.
It moved at a pretty good clip.
I would also concur with that, especially someone who would not consider themselves a Bond fan. Mm-hmm. I've seen some that I like. I've seen a lot that I don't, or just not even, I'm just disinterested.
Sure.
But yeah, overall, I enjoyed it. But before we get to all that, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Paul.
This is Joe.
And this is Tom. Kevin is out this week, and so Paul Harris is sitting in. And I'm assuming you're a bigger Bond fan than we are.
Here's my story with James Bond. I have been disappointed by so many Bond movies.
There's so many.
Yes, but every time I walk out of one that disappoints me, I think to myself, that's it. I'm done with this. I'm not going to these anymore. They have suckered me in for the last time. And then a couple of years go by, or in this case, like 5 or 6 years go by. And I think, oh, there's a new Bond movie. I get caught up in the hype.
Yeah,
I got to go and see that one. And
they are good at the hype.
They are really good.
And the product placement.
This iteration is really good. They've figured this out.
They've always been good at the hype.
I remember the hype for Brosnan. Like, he was the Bond that was like in theaters when I was old enough to go to movies by myself. Yeah. But I don't remember the hype. I remember the video game. That's what I remember.
Yeah. But they've always been good at the hype. Like, that's their deal. And, I mean, really, why wouldn't they be? They're a film studio that makes one film.
Sure.
Right? And so of course, they're good at the hype. Like, it's all they have to do. It's their sole
thing. Is
that
really their only... I guess they don't do it. MGM doesn't really do anything.
Well, I don't
mean
MGM. I mean Eon. Like the,
Yes,
they,
yes, yes.
MGM distributes it.
The Broccoli Family Film Company.
They make them. And it's like... it's all they do,
yeah,
which is why it's like they're really good with the product placement, and they were years ahead of everybody else because it has such an upscale fan base.
Yeah, they do it a lot in this one too.
They always have, like, you know, and I'm just like, yeah, James Bond doesn't use an iPhone. Okay.
Yeah. He uses a Nokia.
Yeah,
sure he does.
I guess it was worth it to Nokia, because my first thought was like, Nokia makes phones. I couldn't tell you last time I saw a Nokia phone.
Who knew?
Yeah, like, oh, okay, good deal. Well, before we get into the movie, let's do some shameless plugs real quick. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us while you're there. Be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. And leave us a review if you would be so kind.
We're up to 270.
Woohoo!
Woo!
And you can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and of course, you can join the League of Show Sharers just by sharing an episode. And people who were kind enough to share an episode last week, David Rojas, Nick Charles, Lane Levanway, Librarian Cynthia, Ralph Tribble, Julianne Jordan, Heather Sachs, Tammy Sherman Powers, Gabriel Lugo, Chris Williams, Colby Mack, Chris Falls, The Movie Journey Podcast, Minorities Report, Spoiler Piece Theater, Ronnie Castle, Binge Movies, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, Sarah Allen Stewart, In Session Film, Chris Wilson, Feelin' Film, and Geek to Me Radio.
Oh, that's a lot of sharing.
Yeah, I know. We really appreciate it. And you can also, if that's not enough, if you want to do a little something extra to help us out, you can join our Patreon, which for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content, and you help us out, and that is greatly appreciated also.
Yeah, and this, there's a lot of new stuff that's coming. The first two episodes of the Halloween timeline are out.
Okay.
There should be three more that are coming. Dustin McNeil, the writer of Taking Shape, I talked with him about the unmade sequels. I talked to Jason from Binge Movies about the current timeline, so 78 to 2018. And then I just finished recording with Lindsay Washburn, and we talked about the OG timeline, so 1 through 6. And
awesome.
That's all coming just in time for the new movie.
Yeah, that'll be our movie next week.
We'll tackle
the third, second Halloween.
That's right.
Yeah.
At least they don't put a number behind this one. It's just like, just put a
Well, at least they
word.
Gave it a different title.
Yeah, right.
Where the last one was like, this is the third movie in the franchise just called Halloween.
I mean, if it ain't like, broke.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you, Peter Gabriel?
Oh, good classic rock reference.
Thank you.
That's a good one.
He's got like four, for people that don't get, he has like four solo albums all called Peter Gabriel.
Yeah.
Makes it difficult.
Yeah, I mean, you know your brand.
When you call to the third, second, I think there's a bank called Fifth Third
Bank. Yeah, right, right.
Yeah. I'm just like,
it's coming. Don't worry. Yeah.
I don't know if I trust you, Fifth Third Bank. That's not how fractions work. You need
there's
to
a whole. There's a whole number involved in there.
You got to factor that down.
What did they do wrong at the Fourth Third Bank?
No, just close it down.
Yes.
Yeah, just close it down.
And you've probably been waiting your whole life to make that joke because when you were in radio, everybody was like, they're a client.
Yeah.
You can't say that.
In radio, I had to do Ruth's Chris Steakhouse instead of Fifth Third Bank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. I've never been there, though. I guess I've...
Do you enjoy butter?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm a human being.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
when they tell you the weight of your steak,
right?
It's not the weight of the steak. It's the weight of the butter they're putting on the steak.
You need to add about 4 pounds. Yeah, that's about the
I'd like
the
an
ratio.
8-ounce steak with 9 ounces of butter. No problem. We call it the number 6.
Awesome. Well, I guess we should let's dig into the movie itself.
Man, did I love this movie.
Did you?
I did. I really like this iteration of this franchise has really kind of gone the Star Trek route where it's like the odd ones are good and the even ones are not, right? So Casino Royale I think is amazing. I think Casino Royale
is really good,
a great movie.
Except for the poker.
That's your thing.
Worst filmed poker game ever.
Quantum of Solace.
Best film poker game ever.
Oh yeah, it's a
Cincinnati
good
Kid.
And sorry, it's The Odd Couple.
Well, you. Okay,
he's like okay, but you don't
Fair
really
enough.
See the game.
Yeah, I don't think that the poker is actually elemental. To
no, it's not.
It's just five guys sitting around talking. And
I was just being a.
But you do have one guy named Ace and one guy named Speed, so that does move it up an extra notch.
That's
you're right.
You got cool names.
Yeah.
Quantum of Solace. Not so great.
That is the worst.
Yeah, and that I mean, had some problems. It got caught up in the writer's strike, and they tried to force it out.
And it was just a snooze fest.
It was. Yeah. It was. And then Skyfall was
great.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Spectre. I need to rewatch it.
I know the people that were really into Bond were upset with Spectre.
Because of the Blofeld thing?
I guess. It did unbond things or something. I don't know, and I don't care. I was fine with it.
I have not rewatched in a while. I probably should have. And then, so this one, and I think this is like, holy. Like this, it's interesting that they hearken back to the one kind of forgotten Bond movie that nobody really talks about, which is On Her Majesty's Secret Service with George Lazenby,
which has people seem to have over the years taken to that movie,
yes.
But in its day,
because it's good,
yeah,
it is a good.
The problem was when people saw it, it was after the Sean Connery years,
right?
And everybody was so in love with him and those five movies that he made,
right?
Or however many,
six,
I think it was, yeah, I think, yeah,
because never they did,
but Never Say Never Again.
But that would have been out yet, and it doesn't count,
correct?
Right. But when George Lazenby was in on Her Majesty's Secret Service, it's like, oh, what a letdown. It's not Sean Connery anymore. And then you add 40 years after that, and somebody goes and finds it on streaming and goes, hey, you know what? This was actually pretty good.
I think there was also, like, just kind of a cultural, like, mental block over the idea of having a different James Bond,
yeah.
right? Like,
sure.
You know, you didn't get recast very often like that, especially on like really iconic things.
Yep.
And like now, as a culture, we're like, well, of course it gets.
Yeah, we've had five Batman,
and I always thought that was weird for movies where it's like in theater, it's like, well, of course I'm not going to see the same guy play Willie Loman. Like you're gonna do different versions of this, and nobody gets upset about it. But like, but that was kind of an alien concept.
Yeah, but in those days, it was not like Willie Loman. It was more like The King and The King and I.
Right.
You know, Yul Brynner has done 82,000 performances of it, and now George Lazenby is going to be on there.
Yeah. Yeah, he would even do, like, dinner theater. I saw him at the Muni and
that's crazy.
The King and I twice.
That's yeah. crazy.
Twice
I mean, it was
saw
that level of iconic character
yeah.
when Lazenby took over from Connery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I think now people are like, of course we know every Bond you have is temporary, and you
some of them more so than others,
sure. But like, I think everybody almost kind of looks forward to the next Bond. Like that's part of the fun of the franchise at this point. I think is who's the next one? Are we gonna like them?
I think if you're so the Bond movies for the most part have not been like sequential. Like, you can watch Diamonds Are Forever
right.
or GoldenEye, like, oh, out yeah. of order, doesn't matter. You kind of, like, they MCU'd it with Casino Royale.
And I think that's going to get more so moving forward.
That's interesting. I don't know how they're going to do it, right? Because the end of the, we're going to spoil it right now.
I already did.
You did. He gets blown up.
Right.
You can't really come back
if
from that.
If they tell us that he's still alive, that's
yeah, and
some
I
great able.
Yes, I agree. And I don't think, I mean, I think Craig has kind of been on the record with saying, you know, they usually talk to him right after he's done filming.
Mm-hmm.
So I get like, I don't want to talk about my job as soon as I walk in the door.
Right.
Right. So his kind of not dismay, but like disgruntledness about these movies, I feel like give him some time. Like,
these
are not easy movies to film.
No, but he's done.
Like, yeah, he has to.
I mean, and this he's for sure. Like
he's going to go do the Ryan Johnson movies. From
yeah,
now.
They're a lot easier.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He's not getting his ass whooped.
And he's like, I can put on a trench coat.
Yeah,
like
that's right.
I don't have to look like this at 55.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever.
You know,
yeah.
I think in Knives Out, he spends most of the time sitting.
Yes,
right.
Not a lot of sitting when you're James Bond.
No,
unless you're driving.
That's also true. Yeah, very true. It is what was the? Oh, I remember he said that he had gotten into, like, the best shape of his life for one of these because he filmed this and The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, like, back-to-back, one of these Bond movies back-to-back. And then when Fincher was like, hey, I need you to lose, like, 35 pounds. And he's like, what? Like, I just put on
right.
45 of muscle. He's like, yeah, but this character's thinner and gaunter. He's like, all right, man. If you know,
I'd be like, that's what CGI is for.
That's right.
Like, you did it for Chris Evans in the first Captain America.
You can do it for me.
You can do it for me. Yeah. Like, I'm not.
You're
I'm
David
not
Fincher,
that.
Man. That was Joe Johnson. You're David Fincher. You can
yes.
figure this out. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, man.
Yeah, you've been here before. make it happen.
So, yeah, so this is James Bond has retired. That's kind of where we are in this world.
Again.
But he hadn't retired in the other ones, right?
Yeah, like two movies ago, I think.
He did?
Yeah, Quantum of Solace.
Oh, sure. Oh, the one we don't like. That makes sense.
Yeah.
There are a lot of like fun little... I actually went back and rewatched Honor Majesty's Secret Service because everybody was talking about how this is kind of like a remake of that. And I was like, that's impossible. There's no way. And then I watched, I was like, oh, it is a remake of Honor Majesty's Secret
Except
Service.
Except the person from the other half of the bridal party doesn't make it out.
Correct. Yeah, it's a little flip flop.
Yes.
I will say, seeing Diana Rigg.
Yeah.
Holy guacamole.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So he's retired. He's kind of Blofeld has been kidnapped or he's in prison. So his job is kind of done. He doesn't really have anything left to do. Is this the first time we get the scope with him on the scope in these movies?
Like actually in a movie?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was wondering because when it happened, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But
this is the most James Bond-y of this. Like they've kind of grounded these movies for the most
right.
part. This is the one where they're just like, oh, by the way, there are machine guns behind these headlights. I have an EMP watch. We have all of these different little gadgets. So they are.
It's harder to make a gadget now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have them on our phone.
Because we got apps on our phone that do what the gadgets used to do. Like it, you know.
He also had a really good one-liner in this. And I was like, man, we are going full Sean Connery, James
Bond. Yeah, some
Bond.
Of it was like the I blew his mind. There was another one. I forget what it was. Where I was just like,
see, I thought there wasn't enough of that. I thought one thing that this was lacking was a sense of humor. Because all the old Bond movies, particularly the Roger Moore years.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He was snarky.
Right.
And in this, he's serious. And even when he delivers that line, he doesn't deliver it like, I'm saying a stupid line now, which yeah. Roger Moore did. But he only had a couple of them in this.
He
as
did.
Opposed to throughout.
But they
I just wish, I agree, but I wish when they had done it, it had been funnier. It was just such yeah. a, like, that wasn't a dad joke. That was a granddad joke. Like, that
but
was...
they haven't done that, right? Like, they haven't done, leaned into that style of the James Bond movies. This is like the Jason Bourne
right.
version of James Bond.
Yep.
And it definitely felt like we're going to try to catch up to where we should have been. I will also say, Cary Fukunaga, who directed the first season of True Detective, and then he did he do Beasts of Burden?
Yes, Beasts of All Nations, or whatever that was called.
Yeah, that's what it is. And yeah. so, like, he was supposed to do It and kind of dropped out of that. This dude directed a hell of a movie.
Yeah.
Like, this is a great-looking movie. I saw it in IMAX. Beautiful looking movie. So props to that guy for coming in and be like, I'm gonna kill James Bond. Like, that's what I'm gonna do. Yeah. So he's retired, and then he is we get the opening credit sequence of a girl and her drunken mother talking about who I thought her dad was going to be James Bond. Like, that's the way I thought we were going.
Ah.
And I was like, oh, he's just gonna have sex with that person as she grows up. That's all right. This is the other character that we're going to be introduced to. So, and then we're introduced to the villain, who is Rami Malek, who is...
Before we get past the opening, I can't remember a Bond movie that did not start with an action sequence.
You're exactly right.
And
yeah.
usually
you
it's
exactly
an action
right.
sequence that has nothing to do with the plot.
Right, it's completely disconnected.
You know, here yeah. he is in the Alps, skiing down a mountain away from 42 guys on snowmobiles yeah, who are going sure. after him with AK-47s,
yes.
and none of their bullets hit him.
Nope.
And then, well, now we're in Bermuda.
Right.
Yeah. He'll hook up with some lady, and then we'll get the opening
credits.
I
always kind of liked how it was almost like, here's the last scene of a movie you didn't see.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
There's always something with this guy,
yep.
you know? And it's like...
There's always something.
There's always something with this guy. But it was like, here's this other movie. Like, it's not just... We don't just... The stuff we show you isn't the only stuff that happens to
right.
him. It's kind of how the vibe it gave.
He lives a very crazy life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a man who lives a life of danger.
Oh.
Yeah.
He also has a license to kill.
To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger.
What is that?
Johnny Rivers,
that's
secret agent.
Yeah,
man.
Secret agent man. There we go. So, yeah, the villain of this movie is Rami Malek. And he ends up, we get the idea, the story that this child's father, who was also a hitman of some sort. Cause
something.
We never see the dad. We just hear about him. Murdered Rami Malek's family. So now he is going to take out this guy's wife. And then a very cool scene where the daughter kind of starts running across this frozen tundra, this lake.
This opening scene plays like a horror movie.
It really does.
Yes,
like,
it does.
There's like legit jump scares.
Yep.
Like it's.
I know we've kind of bagged on him a little bit because he should not have won the Oscar, but that's neither here nor there. He's a really good villain. In this movie,
I did not like him.
Really?
Neither did I.
I thought it was just very over the top. And I think it's difficult, I think, for Bond villains these days to, like, you know, one, there's so many legendary Bond villains.
Sure.
And they were in a time when they could be really camp and over the top, and it wasn't out of character. So it's like you want these really big personalities.
Yep.
But it was like everything about him was very actorly.
I could see that.
It was
exactly what I thought.
Yeah, it was very much like, here's me being a Bond villain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm ready
for my close-up, Mr. DeMille.
Yeah,
And, like, I think Blofeld nails it, right? Like, he really, like, straddles
that's
those.
Christoph Waltz, though.
Totally.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Christoph Waltz, you can't be the best Bond movie villain in a movie where Christoph Waltz is also a Bond villain.
Right. Yeah.
He's going to be the best one. And the way they use him in this and make him look like Hannibal Lecter.
When they do the scene where they're pulling his cage out.
Yeah. Yeah.
All I could think was, get smart. It looks so much like when the opening credits, when he would go to, when he
like in the chair or whatever,
when he would go to work and yeah, he'd right, go through right. all the doors yeah. and stuff.
Yeah. But I think that Waltz was just unbelievable in his part playing Blofeld.
Yes.
And by the way, he doesn't overdo it. There's no right. screaming. There's no, you don't think this guy's crazy from the way he acts.
Right.
Just from what he says.
Right.
But then you got Rami Malek, who does play it a little bit too crazy, I think.
Right. You're like, you know, like you get to the point where you're like, who's going to follow this guy? Yeah. Right.
I guess like, I feel like because they were trying to go kind of like speed up and get to those older Bond movies.
Sure.
Is that this villain was kind of in the vein of those Jaws. Oh, I guess Jaws was a henchman, but like, you know,
he was a shark.
His name was Bruce. You know, like Dr. No and yeah. like the Goldfinger. I almost said Goldmember. That's a yeah, different movie no. altogether.
I believe it's pronounced Goldfinger. You gotta say it like that.
Absolutely right. Yeah. That's exactly what it was. So I guess I felt like this villain, this version of this character was kind of like a throwback to those yeah. old-timey.
I just like, so the more I see Rami Malek, the less I like him.
I kind of agree.
Yep.
I like, he seems... Well, he seems kind of pretentious, right?
Yeah.
Like that kind of actor.
And I know it's cool to bag on the Queen movie now, and it's like it's a mediocre movie that was elevated by his performance. I mean, his performance was great. Yeah. I don't think you can take that away from him.
No.
But like, yeah, like the more I see of him, like I didn't like him in that
Not Seven.
Yeah, the Not Seven movie, and I just yeah, I just
it boggles my mind that Taron Egerton doesn't get nominated for that performance in the Elton John flick.
Yeah.
When he is acting and singing.
Yep.
When Rami Malek was not singing. You know
right.
what I mean? Like,
totally.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Also, I don't know anything about Rami Malek in real life, but I think he might be one of these actors who stays in character when he's not shooting.
I don't think you're wrong.
That would not surprise me.
No.
He seems like...
Yeah, I'm always talking in my evil voice.
Right.
Do you want a tuna sandwich? Yes, I'd like it, but I want it on whole wheat.
Yeah.
No pickles. Yeah. No pickles.
I want it with the blood of the youth.
That shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
He wants another tomato juice.
Yeah. We're filming in Thailand. We can pull it
we
off.
We can figure that out. Yeah. It's real easy. So then we flash forward, and I almost called him Bruce, like he's Bruce Wayne. James is on; he's done. He's cruising around. This is the same car from On Her Majesty's Secret Service. It's the same car that James Bond drives in that movie that he drives in this one.
Okay.
And he ends up getting approached by a returning Felix Leiter, which I was like, yeah, give me Jeffrey Wright all day, every day.
Yeah,
like James Gordon is going to be great.
Now, see, here's a guy who's got no time to die. He only makes it to the halfway point, right?
Yeah. Well,
that's a guy with no time to die.
He had no time to die.
Yeah.
And he finds James, and he basically, there's something going on that they need his help with. And Bond's like, nah, I'm good. I want nothing to do with
right.
it. I did leave out the whole part with the girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
The whole, like, so he's living this kind of, like,
idyllic vacation.
The perfect life.
Like, he bought the best timeshare money can buy.
That's correct, correct. And he has this, he's seeing this woman, and we find out that the woman that he's seeing is the little girl from the beginning of the movie.
She's grown up.
She is grown up now, yeah.
Just to be clear.
Put that out there.
Yeah.
But not that much.
Yeah.
She's maybe half his age. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, that is, yes. Because, do they give us a year?
No.
Okay. Either way, but you're right. She has... The age difference is astronomical.
Yeah.
And, you know, they live this very cherished life, and they're either happy, and he's not with MI6 anymore. She's, I guess, a psychiatrist, but doesn't really practice because he's made all this money. And then he is attacked. Like, they're attacked in this villa.
Well, how does James Bond have a lot of money?
I don't know.
Right?
Maybe he gets paid very well.
I mean, if James Bond has a lot of money, it makes me think, like, maybe this dude's on the take. Right? Like, that's not a job that should lead to a lot of money.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I was actually thinking to myself, was there a job that involved cash in the James Bond stories anywhere where like he didn't return 18 million of it.
Right.
Or, he has like a 24, but he kept 18 for himself. That's all of it, Em, I swear.
Right. He's got one of the, he makes his own money. He's got like plates to make his own money. So he's attacked and he basically, you know, him being a spy can't figure out how they knew where he was. And then it becomes kind of evident in this moment that maybe she, the girl, is a spy.
Oh, by the way, he dies going to see the mausoleum that was built for his former girlfriend, Vesper Wynn.
Right. They're from the previous movie. They're in Italy or in Rome. And she basically says, if you and I need to move on together, you need to let go of Vesper, who was the love of Ava Green from Casino Royale, who died in that, right? She died in that first movie.
Well, based on the tombstone he was standing in front of.
Oh, yeah, right, because it did have the years. Well, I mean, like, but I'm pretty sure, like, she dies kind of her. She is the villain, sort of, in Casino Royale, but dies kind of redeeming herself, I think. So while he's there, he pulls, like, a little thing, and the whole thing,
it blows up.
It blows up, yeah. And now he's, like, calls everybody out.
This scene has my favorite stunt in the whole movie.
Which one?
When they take the motorcycle up the stairs
and
use the stairs as a ramp to go to the other thing. Yeah. I was like, that's pretty bad.
This is a fantastic action sequence of James just kind of on his own, jumping off the side of a bridge, holding on to like a rope and doing, man, this is a dope action sequence.
And I also liked when it came to the end where he's in his car, his special car, and he's surrounded by guys who are shooting all kinds of ammunition at him, and he's just calmly sitting in the car.
Yeah, like, while the girl is freaking out.
But the windows, you know, they're not shattering.
No. There is that scene where the guy walks up, the guy with the, this is like very henchman-y.
Yeah.
Because in the last one, I think it was Dave Bautista who was kind of like odd job.
Right.
But he's got like a cybernetic eye.
Right.
And he walks up with like this automatic shotgun and is just shooting a whole like shotgun blast.
Yeah, he's like bulletproof glass only lasts so long.
Correct.
Like and so he's like, I will just keep shooting it till it goes. And then Bond's just like, whatevs, man.
Yeah, man, you do.
He's checking his phone.
Let me just go over here. I'm going to open up the console right now where I have these switches. Now watch what happens.
Which is also like so James Bond. Absolutely. That, you know, he's got like machine guns inside the headlights and smoke, and he basically he and the girl get out of the situation, and he realizes that he can't trust her because this is just too on the nose. You're the only one knows that I'm here is you. I'm a spy. I don't really know everything about you. I'm going to put you on this train and piss off.
And by the way, this is right in the James Bond tradition. How many of the 25 movies included the woman who turned him in
right.
or turned
oh,
against
sure.
him at some point?
Which you get two women in this, and I was like, well, the other one's got to be the bad one. And then she's in it for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And we don't see her again. So then we flash forward 5 years and Bond is kind of disheveled and he's just also still retired but living his life. This is where Felix and
Oscar.
Ash.
No.
Well, yeah, right. Ash, which when they said this, Logan Ash, and I was like, well, that's not a real name.
Yeah.
There's no way. That's the most made up name I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
That's the kind of name you wrestle under.
That's exactly it. Yeah, right. Yeah.
By the way, when they introduced Felix and this guy, Logan Ash, who's with him, having seen a lot of movies, didn't you immediately think to yourself, he's a double agent?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, yeah, I've seen enough of these movies like, where I was like, Felix is the good guy.
I feel bad for that actor because all he can play is smarmy.
Yes.
Right? Like,
was he in, I think he was in Land of the Dead.
I don't know. He just looks smarmy.
He does. Yeah, right.
Yep.
I thought he was going to be a villain, like the origins of one of his villains from later.
Yeah.
Which is what I thought we were going to get in this movie is that Rami
Malek. I think
Malek,
that's what we will get moving forward.
Probably.
Yeah.
I thought Rami Malek was going to be Dr. No. That's where I thought we were going.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. So Felix kind of says, look, we need you on this. And James is like, nah, I'm good. I want nothing to do with this. He's introduced to the new 007.
The new 007.
Which it's hilarious that got any sort of attention whatsoever from moronic fans who didn't know it was coming. It's like, yeah, it's just a number, which they keep saying over and over.
Her name's not Jane Bond.
It's not. Right. She's 007.
Right.
And he was like, cool. I do like that he kind of played it. He played it. Obviously, it's going to bother him, right? It's his number.
Sure.
But he's also like just a dick enough where he's like, hey, man, I don't care.
Right.
Nah, I don't really. It doesn't really matter.
Well, it's like, it's 007, right? If you're going to put two O's in front of it, you only have nine numbers.
Yes.
Like, you can't go.
That's right.
You can't retire jerseys when you got nine numbers to play with.
Right. You can't put that in the rafters.
00 pi.
Yeah.
Ooh, and then I started using decimals.
That's the, that's saving that for the porn parody.
So she kind of introduces herself. You think this character is going to be another woman that he beds very quickly.
Yeah.
And we realize that she drops her accent and she has a British accent. And he was like, all right. She's like, don't, whatever you're thinking about doing, don't do it.
Yeah.
Like, don't get involved. That basically what we find out is that there is a chemist that Rami Malek has kidnapped or is part of like this extra team that has devised some sort of poison. I do think a worldwide pandemic is a little on the nose.
Well, I mean, this has been sitting in the can. It was done for
pre-pandemic, right?
Yeah, because this was supposed to come out in, like, what, November of 2020.
Oh, is that right?
Maybe it was even summer, and they pushed it to November, and then they just pushed it indefinitely. But
that
it was definitely
sense.
Made pre-pandemic.
Yeah, this is a little on the nose with this one. So this guy's been kidnapped. Rami Malek now has the device that will release this virus across the world. Very,
but this is not airborne. You have to touch.
Correct.
Right?
It is like touch. Yeah.
It moves through nanobots.
Which I do think is interesting. Like, it's a kind of a cool concept where it's the disease or the virus is so.
And it's like genetically targeted.
Correct.
They get your DNA because the purpose of the weapons, its intent was that they could basically say create a virus that would kill one person.
Right.
And then they wouldn't have any collateral damage.
Right. And it's targeted to this person's DNA.
Right.
And what Rami Malek has done is
they never counted on anyone going control A. Yeah.
Which kind of Bond says to M, where he's just like, what did you think was going to happen?
Right.
Like, what were you doing?
Because M's behind the whole thing.
M is.
Yeah.
We find out that M has kind of been working with Blofeld to keep this inside. He's like, it was better to keep it inside than to let somebody else have it. And in typical bureaucratic fashion, they screwed it up.
Right.
How did that play at the MI6 meeting? Who are you going to work with on this?
You know that psychopath?
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
That sociopath we got down there in that Magneto cell?
How many Nazis built our atomic weapons?
Yeah.
I mean, is it really that far-fetched?
Right. No.
Good.
No, it's
Werner von Braun callback. Nice going.
Yeah.
Also, Christoph Waltz played a Nazi.
There you go.
See?
There it is.
Got an
and
Academy
Jody
Award
Foster
for
had
it.
To work with Hannibal Lecter. I mean, Clarice Starling had to work
That's
with
right.
Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, big time. So did, yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. You can go ahead, Em.
Yeah, right, right. And I kind of did forget that Judy Dench is gone.
Yeah.
So when Ralph Fiennes walked back on scene, I was like, oh yeah, well, you are the new M. I also do kind of love that he doesn't call him, like, James doesn't call him M. He calls him by his first name. Is even more of like a dick move.
Yeah.
Well, it's also a power play, right? Like, I know who you are.
Absolutely a power play.
I know who you are.
Yeah, right. So he talks to M on the, like, she kind of kicks James his phone. He thinks it's 007, and it kind of is, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, what did you do? Bond is like, what did you do? You're working with Blofeld. Like, you're insane. He's like, I gotta go. Bye. Click. You know, like,
new phone. Who did?
Yeah. Right. Right. So he calls Felix and says, I'm in. Like, this is bad. Like, I know this is bad. Fine. I've got nothing else going. I'm not really. I'm just hanging out in this sweet, sweet villa.
Right.
I've got nothing else to do.
I think I could take a little time to go with you and the double agent.
The bad guy. He should have a sign that just says bad guy because we all know what's coming.
Right.
So they go to James and Felix and Logan go to kidnap and or capture this scientist that we see earlier in the movie. And in that process, it gets messed up, right? Like, they've got the bad guy, but this is when Logan turns and ends up shooting Felix in the gut, which I got to tell you, going into this, I'm like, okay, James is going to die, right? Like, he has to die. I didn't expect them to go into like full reset mode where they're like, Felix, no, he's off the table. Blofeld, he's off the table. James, he's off the table.
Well, I mean,
so
if
it's like
Spectre,
Spectre. Yeah, the entire thing of Spectre.
But if you think about it, if they're going to kill James Bond, then you have to do a full reset.
I agree.
Like, you know what I mean? You can't, like, there's no...
I think when they killed Felix, and I was like, well, maybe nobody's safe. Like, maybe we just kill everybody because we're just going to reset this thing anyway.
Yeah, like heavy metal. You die, she dies, everybody dies.
Everybody dies. So James, of course, Felix dies. Logan gets away with the doctor in a pretty great sequence as well. The set pieces in this are pretty spectacular. Like, it's one big set piece.
It's a $250 million movie, and $200 million of it is on the screen. The other 50 is Daniel Craig.
But you
go to James Bond movies for spectacle.
I agree.
And they deliver.
And that's why during the slow periods of this, I was literally thinking, okay, come on. Let's go. Get through this. I know it's him and the girl, and we got to see them lovey-dovey.
Well,
and
the
all that
franchise
stuff.
Has been around so long, they know that we need time to pee.
That's true. They're like, we got...
Original title of this movie, by the way.
Time to pee. No time to pee.
No time to pee.
They just need to flash a little yellow blinking dot at the bottom of the screen when it's safe to pee. This is just exposition that doesn't matter. You can go pee now.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I will say, before we get to the losing of Felix, this is where we meet the other gal from Knives Out, who plays the secret agent who has had 3 weeks of field training.
Or so she says. Or Ana de Armas.
Correct. Yes, thank you. Yeah. Who, when you see, I think she's on the poster, and I was like, okay, she'll be like the Denise Richards or the Halle Berry of this little thing. Nope. You see her for about 20 minutes, and she's like, all right, this is where
she was great, though.
I can see them spinning her off somehow. I don't know how they would do it, but I could see her getting a spinoff. This is a great action beat, hand to hand. Lots of gunfire in this. A lot of fancy. You have to do that kind of just right, because she is wearing not a lot. Right. She has a very, very small dress. But this is where we think that we see the guy with the mechanical eye, and we think that it is interesting because James did get played initially, right? He did get set up, and then all of a sudden it's flipped, and the doctor has turned the DNA to everybody from Spectre. So they wipe out. James is fine. The secret agent is fine. But everybody at Spectre, because there's this big grand birthday party for Blofeld where the main event will be killing James. They kill everybody from Spectre. There's no Spectre left. It's all gone. Which, again, you're just like, all right, well, that's off the table.
Yeah. I think the original plot was that the nanobots would kill Rami Malek, and he had the doctor re-engineer the thing so it killed everybody but Rami Malek from Spectre.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they've got, on that little DNA, they've got everybody's DNA somehow. Somehow everybody's DNA ended up on this hard drive. I don't know how that happened, but that's what happened. So he goes back. James goes back to MI6 and is not pleased. He realizes that the only way this is going to work is if he talks to Blofeld. And M's like, no, you are out your mind. He only talks to this one person and he'll never talk to you.
Is where I think Moneypenny and Q, they team up with Bond kind of off
that's
the
right.
books.
That's right. That's right.
And you get to find out that Q puts the Q in LGBTQ.
A little bit. Yeah. Yes, he does. Yeah, not a little bit. He does.
Yeah.
That's the guy who played the father in the Mary Poppins reboot.
Oh, I never saw it.
Oh, really?
Ben Whishaw, I think is his name.
Okay. This is, I think you get the hairless cat, I feel like, because there was a reaction in the theater when the cat showed up, and I was like, I don't know what that means. I mean, I know that they're one of these villains.
Blofeld had a cat early on, I think, whenever Donald Pleasance played him.
Yeah, you didn't see his face for a long time. You just pet the cat.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Like the bad guy from Inspector Gadget.
That's what it's a reference to. I just thought everybody was like, is he going to be Dr. Evil? He's got a hairless cat.
That's right. Oh, yeah, right.
How
right,
many
right.
people from Spectre were killed? A million?
Million billion? So they break the code on these hard drives, and they're like, oh, this is bad. They take that to M, and M's like, all right, do you want to come back to work or not? And he was like, yeah, I'll come back.
I mean, you might as well clock in at this point, right?
You're already
doing all the work.
You're doing the legwork, right? Yeah. This is a kind of one of this is one of the scenes that I liked where the new 007's like, but what's his number?
Right.
And he was like, that's not important. He was like, what is it?
Yeah.
Like, so I do like that kind of running gag. So this is where we.
You can be 07. You're licensed to maim.
Yeah. Not kill, but right. Definitely maim. So we find out that Rami Malek and the love interest from the very beginning of this movie kind of he saves her life as a child. She falls through the ice. He shoots around it and pulls her out of the ice. So they have this weird connection where he feels like she owes him a debt. So Blofeld is the last member of Spectre that is in existence. And he says to her, we find out that she is Blofeld's psychiatrist, the only person that Blofeld will talk to. So he gives her like a perfume. And in the perfume is the last code of DNA.
Ode de Nanobot.
That's right. Yeah. That's very, very
Chanel
very
number
French.
Nanobot.
Number Nanobot.
005.
005, yes. Yeah.
Dracar Nanobot.
I don't like. Yeah, all right. I own nothing about perfume.
Yeah, I'm
shocking.
Running out.
Yeah, right, right.
High karate Nanobot. I'm out.
What is that? Axe? That's not gonna work.
Yeah,
Old Spice. That's all I remember.
Yeah, Axe is more of a Fast and Furious fragrance. Yeah,
I feel like Old Spice is just old enough that it could, you know.
Yeah, it could, like it circled back around.
Yeah, right. This is where our love interest from the beginning is Madeline is her name, is reintroduced to James Bond. And I'm under the impression that nobody knows that they were together because of the way he reacts to her when he sees her for the first time, where he goes to shake her hand. And she was like, fuck you, bud. They go in because
they brace him, right? They're bracing like, hey, we know Blofeld, you got history, and like, don't overreact. Connie's like, I got it under control.
Yeah.
And then he rounds the corner and sees her, and he's like, you know, son of a bitch.
I don't have it under control.
Yeah.
This is the scene you were talking about where they wheel. And I will say, it's a very creepy scene because Christoph Waltz is so good at being creepy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where his head doesn't move. He's almost like a shark, right? Like his head doesn't move and his whole body is like in this rotating, kind of like Magneto from the first X-Men, the second X-Men movie. And this is the first time we get a look at him and he looks like, because I think Donald Pleasance did have like some facial scars when we see him. So now he's got like the same kind of like mucky muck on the side of his face. James goes to grab Madeline, is like, hey, you don't have to do this. And she, of course,
Now
it's on him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know that. Right. And she pulls away immediately. And you think from James's point of view that she's pulling away because he kind of broke her heart. And then from her point of view, she's like, I was trying to protect you. And now you've got this crap on you. So she bolts. She gets out of there. Doesn't want anything to do with this. James and Blofeld have an amazing confrontation. Like they can't touch each other. So it's all done just through these two actors. And I will say Daniel Craig, kind of doesn't get a lot of credit, right? Cause these movies aren't really an actor's movie.
Right.
You know, but when he's given this scene, he kills it. Like this is literally Blofeld ends up telling him, she had nothing to do with whatever I did all that. I set all that up. Like the bomb at Vesper's, funeral thing. Like that was all me. And now James realizes I have screwed up. Like I have messed this up. And he grabs Blofeld by the throat. And he's like, you know, the guy who was the president or the prime minister in the first episode of Black Mirror who.
Oh, has to nail a pig.
Yeah. That's this guy.
Yeah.
Is the same actor. He runs in there. He's like, hey, you can't do that. He's like, I know. And then he lets him go. But because skin to skin contact, Blofeld ends up getting the virus and dies. And I was like, dang. Okay. Felix and Blofeld in about 30 minutes apart. I was like, all right, man, let's keep rolling.
Yeah.
So James and Madeline reunite.
And it feels so good.
And it feels so good. We see a little girl. Who is about the right age. And of course, I do like immediately, of course, we all know who she is.
Right.
But Madeline's like, nope, not yours. And he's like, yeah, but she has blue eyes. And she's like, cool.
and she's 5 years old, and we were together for a year.
Yeah, right. She's like, hey, man, I just like the D. Don't slut shame me.
Just, you're not the only one with blue eyes, James.
Right.
Movie's not called No Time to D.
Yeah. I got a thing for guys with blue eyes. What are you going to do
about it? What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
You've ruined me with blue eyes, James. I can't have anything else. So they reunite, right? And they're back together, and he's awkwardly being a dad, but like she says,
he's dad-ish.
Dad-ish, right? Yeah. Making her eggs, and she's kind of on board with it. This is another great sequence where James realizes we got to go. Like, we're being hunted. I did think they're in the car and the girl keeps talking about a mosquito bite. And I was like, oh man, they've got her with like a tracking device. Like, yeah, that's how they're fine. But that never comes back around.
Yeah. Like,
which I thought was weird.
I thought that was going somewhere too.
And it didn't.
No.
No, not at all. This is a
maybe
great
date in the director's cut.
Oh yeah, the 4-hour director's cut. Yeah, right. This is a great chase sequence that runs down a dirt road, basically, yeah, into like the forest. And James is kind of picking people off. I think it's a brilliant. It almost looks like, I'm trying to think when we get. It's later at the missile silo that we get almost like a one shot take of him like running, you know, doing whatever. I think this was fantastic. This whole sequence of James like working through the woods and picking these people off. It after rewatching On Her Majesty's Secret Service, which I think that was the most physical like James Bond we had seen to that point. Mm-hmm. With Sean Connery had been like, you know, judo chop, and that's, he would knock people out with one strike.
Right.
And Roger Moore was kind of the same way. So it is kind of, it's fun to see James kind of do the Jason Bourne thing or the Jack Reacher thing. And just, you know, he is a killing machine. Like, and he is no problem killing anybody that gets in his way.
Right.
So now because he has been off, Rami Malek's character ends up kidnapping, Madeline and the daughter. And James realizes we have to, now we're into the thick of it, as the kids say.
You know, I was just going to save the world, but now there's a 5-year-old girl here.
Right.
Who is not part of the world.
Right. Like, but she's also not mine. So,
right.
I don't know.
Well,
world,
I don't know.
Girl,
I guess,
world,
you
girl.
Know. And in typical Bond fashion, we get a massive like base. Right. Like,
right.
This is old school. This is old school,
yeah,
villain's base. He's going to tell you the plot of what he's going to do. Has a layer that's,
yeah,
got different levels.
Bond was like, I thought I was the only layer in this movie.
And Rami Malek says, no.
By the way, the poison pool, really? I've got a pool full of poison.
Yep.
Introduced about 40 minutes before the end of the movie. Gee, I wonder if there's going to be a callback to that.
Yeah.
Wonder if...
Guess what?
They wouldn't kill Bond in a pool of poison, would they?
No.
Chekhov's poison pool.
That's, yeah, right. That's right.
Yeah. Right.
And this is, I mean, this is, I think this was the best action piece of the
whole
movie.
Where do you go to get somebody to install a pool of poison?
That's the great question, right? Like, all of these, you
gotta, I think you got, well, you, it's, the secret is, you got to have somebody install the pool,
yeah,
and then you get another contractor to install the poison.
Are they taking one of those,
I see,
fire hoses and they hook it,
right,
up to the poison hydrant?
Yeah, you can't do it all with one company, or
no,
they'll be like, hey, this is an evil lair. I know what's going on.
What was the, there's the one inside the volcano.
Yeah.
You know, like, who built that?
Yeah.
How did that happen? Where you got, there's plumbing involved and electricity inside this volcano.
Well, and if that's not union work, you're going to hear about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a no-win situation.
But
right,
you make,
you know,
a call to the poison liquid company. Hi, I'm going to need some of your product. How much do you need? A couple of gallons?
Well,
I have a pool. A
couple million gallons? The guy's like, oh, you want a poison pool? Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what I want. Thank you for understanding. That's perfect.
Is it going to have poison plants around it? Are you doing like a poison garden with it? Yes,
well,
I am. Well, that sounds great.
I'm, yeah, going to talk to my one-eyed henchman, and we'll
I'd
we'll
like some. Would you like our toxic topiary department to call you?
Actually, do you have something that will make people more compliant? We do.
Yeah.
We do, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Let me connect you to poison landscape.
Poison landscape. That's even better. So this is, I mean, this is pretty self-explanatory. This is a big action set piece. I think one of the things that people complained about in Spectre is that one quote unquote one tracking shot that was like obviously not a tracking shot.
Yeah.
And I feel like Cary Fukunaga, and this was like, I got you.
Yeah.
And he does it. And I think it's a really good, it's really well done. And then, you know, when the cut happens, like he falls, he's basically picking off these guys left and right. And then he has to get into a fist fight with somebody, falls down some stairs. And I was like, there it is.
Yeah.
Like, that's where it is. So what they're going to do, well, the problem they have is this island is in between Russia and Japan. So when Russia and Japan realize, hey, the Brits are like, there's a giant plane floating above,
yeah,
that's a British, you know, they're like, we're going to go check that out. So now we're in this kind of like weird spot where M has to decide if he's going to fire on this unincorporated thing between the British and the Russians. And I do like that. I think Q or Bond is like, what are we going to tell him? And they were like, nothing. We're not going to tell him anything. Like, I don't know. It was weird. I don't know. It's weird that whole little island blew up over there that came.
What when that happened?
Yeah. That's strange. Q tells Bond, like, you have to open these blast doors. It's the only way to do it. A fun scene where Q is trying to give the instructions and Bond is already like three steps ahead. He's like, got it.
Yeah.
And like takes off. We know that Madeline and the daughter are safe. The new 007 has taken them off the island. And then as the missiles have been launched, the blast doors start to close. And we're just like, well, okay. This is where I was like, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
Not a great fight scene between Remy, but it doesn't need to be.
But I kind of like that it wasn't a great fight scene, because it wouldn't be a great fight scene.
It wouldn't. You're right? Absolutely
like,
right.
I don't believe that Rami Malek's character could get in a could go toe to toe with
it's
James
almost like
Bond.
When Batman fights the Joker, right?
Right.
Like, that's not a thing.
You're not. Yeah, it's not. It's never about the physical match.
Right.
Between
right.
two, because of course Batman wins that
every single time.
Yeah.
So this is the, we do know that Rami Malek has, two vials of like blood and around his neck, one vial for Madeline and one vial for the daughter. And this is finally, I think at one point in this, Madeline finally tells him, she's like, it's your daughter. Like, we all know that.
Yeah.
So what he during these fisticuffs, he takes the, Rami Malek takes the vials, smashes them into his hand, and then scratches Bond's face, thus basically sealing his fate, right? Like, he can't touch Madeline. He can't touch his daughter, because it will kill them. It will kill them instantly. So Bond knows what he has to do, right? So he, again, I do like this version of Bond, because he is kind of such a badass, where Rami Malek is doing his whole little soliloquy, mm-hmm. and Bond's just like, yeah, cool. I'm like, pop, pop, pop. I'm done with that. We're done with this.
Yeah.
and I think this is we've never gotten to see Bond die, right?
Yeah.
Like, he always is okay in some form or another.
You know, you were talking earlier about, I hope he doesn't survive the explosion and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
Did you ever see the Flint movies that James Coburn made?
I did not.
I saw Our Man Flint. Okay. Was that the one where at the end he kills off everybody at Galaxy and they're going to blow up the island and he dives off of the side of the mountain?
I think so.
Swan dives into the water and there are the four beautiful women that he saved, and they're all getting picked up by the ship. Okay. I thought to myself, they can't end a Bond movie with him swan diving off the side of this mountain
right.
to do that. But it was set up exactly the same way.
It was.
Like, island in the middle of nowhere, run by evil geniuses. He goes in there. He already did save the beautiful women. Madeline and her daughter,
right?
They're okay. 007 woman is
off, ready to go.
She's that's fine. Okay, so now it can't be the end of Bond. You can't kill off James Bond.
Guess what?
Yeah, you can.
You can. And I think I talked about Daniel Craig's acting, and I think this is a really powerful scene where he's talking to Madeline on the walkie-talkie. I did think it was kind of weird that he didn't say anything to his daughter, but he just kind of, you know, like, what I don't know.
But that, like, that would probably be confusing, because she doesn't know.
I think she does know. Because Rami, there's this... Oh, but you know what? She doesn't. I bet she doesn't speak English. because she never speaks English. She speaks French the entire time.
But there's one point where he speaks to her in English and she responds.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just thinking maybe she wouldn't understand. Because Rami Malek does say when they're sitting there in that scene where he's kind of like a Bond thing. He thinks he's got Bond dead to rights.
Right.
And he's referring to him as her father.
Yeah.
But I guess it's I mean, you could be right. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember them talking.
But I don't think like that's a pretty abstract concept, I think, to lay on a 5-year-old. About like, oh, hey, this guy really is your father.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I just don't think that the kid really knows.
I can appreciate that. Yeah. That makes sense. The very heartfelt conversation. And I do like that Madeline doesn't fight it. Like, she knows.
Yeah.
She knows that he's been infected. She knows that he can't win this one. Well, I guess he has won.
Well, he could win and then just stay away from them.
Which... wasn't going to, you know, like, yeah. Which is even, it's interesting given her on Her Majesty's Secret Service, how like he's constantly losing in that movie. Like he's winning for sure. But like Diana Rigg dies in that movie. Right. So this is, it's a great scene. The missiles have launched and they're almost like those Jericho missiles from Iron Man where like they blow up and there's multiple missiles.
Yeah.
They blow up this facility.
Those are the worst in Missile Command when you play that.
No!
Oh, my God.
MIRV, I think they're called. Multiple Impact something.
Oh,
something.
We're going to get a call from, like, the CIA or something.
MIRV.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. I don't know. Why was that in the back of my brain?
I don't know. Yeah, that's impressive, whatever it is.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Re-entry vehicles, maybe?
What is that?
Multiple Impact re-entry vehicle. I don't know.
Jericho missiles.
Okay.
That's what they were called in Iron Man. That's okay. as far as I can get you.
Tom will find out.
I'm Googling. Multiple independently targetable re-entry vehicle. And they just ignored the T because it made it confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's too hard. Let's just pretend like the T's not there.
Done.
Yeah.
Got it.
And it was like, I think targetable should be implied, right? Like, if you have a non-targetable missile... that's not really a missile anymore.
Well, when they first started making missiles, they didn't know how to target them to a specific
just
place.
Just shooting them in wherever.
You know, they were shooting them off like mortars, you know?
Now we're going to hope for the best.
That was a little bit short. Raise the thing up. Okay, now you got it. So, I mean, that's how missiles started.
That's true. That's true.
I just Googled MIRV missile, and I am now on a list somewhere.
Great. Yeah, it's the end of Real Spoilers. It's been fun, folks.
Yes.
Like that's, so the entire thing blows up. You they don't leave it to your imagination. Like, James Bond is engulfed in flames, and
if
he doesn't move.
If he's alive, if they tried and say that this version of James Bond is still alive, even with a different actor, like...
you can't.
F this movie.
Yeah, I kind of.
Right?
I would agree.
Well, you know the name of the next movie is already James Trek 3, The Search for Bond.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
He's fighting
the whales.
The Spectre has been replaced by a Deus Ex Machina.
But yeah, I agree. If they try to say that this version of James Bond is still alive, it seems like a pretty big middle finger to...
I know that, like, they've been trying to do the MCU thing, but this version of Bond, Daniel Craig, started pre-MCU.
Is it 06?
06, I believe, yeah. And so I think this is going to be their opportunity to do a hard reset and start over at the beginning and world build in a very deliberate way that they've never been able to do before.
You mean with an origin story?
I think would not surprise me.
Yeah.
I would not surprise if you get a much younger Bond. Here's an idea if they would like to hire me. Just spitballing. What if you set it in the 60s?
Yeah.
Oh, sign me up.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because part of the problem is like the geopolitical machinations in the 60s were a little bit more clear cut. I mean, looking back, they weren't, but it was like, you know, Russia bad, America good.
Right.
Like, you know, and so those were pretty easy stories to tell.
Maybe Bond has to go catch the guy who invents MIRV.
Boom.
Full circle.
And then it resets.
Yeah.
Timeline, the resets.
But yeah, like if you set it in the 60s, in the same way we talked about they should
do Superman
in the 30s or 40s, like, you know, that would be an interesting solution for this movie, and they could set Bond against the backdrop of actual historical events. And like
that's not a bad idea.
Have him behind the scenes kind of guiding history with his missions.
Bond, welcome back from the Bay of Pigs. I know it didn't go well, but we have something else for you.
Yeah, you kind of mucked that one up. that's actually not a bad idea. Yeah. It's like, and I don't, you know, every Bond movie up until Casino Royale, we just talked. Well, I guess the Pierce Brosnan stuff kind of did the same. I think that they kind of followed somewhat of a story, like, yeah, because I think that last one, like, maybe they didn't. I honestly don't
this
remember.
Idea of there being one cohesive world with a storyline that runs through all the movies, but you can still, like, that's a relatively recent phenomenon, yeah, especially given that this movie, the franchise, started in what, 62 63,
something like that.
Yeah,
I thought it was 60, but you could be right.
Yeah. And so I mean, you know, I think that they're like, oh, we'd like to do this in a different way, and this is kind of presents them an opportunity to have like a clear line of delineation, like this is where that's over, this era is over, both from Daniel Craig and just from these first 25 Bond movies,
sure,
or whatever.
Sure.
We're on.
You could separate yourself from the entire thing.
Right.
And you can say to the fan base, you're worried about who's going to be the new Bond? Let us introduce the old Bond.
Right.
I mean, the young Bond.
Yeah.
We're going to...
He's not really the new Bond. Technically, never mind. Yeah.
We're going to de-age...
You know how Halloween did it? Like that. Yeah. But less confusing.
This is why I'm not in the marketing department at Eon.
Right. Right.
You're absolutely right. And then that offers you the opportunity to maybe do a Felix Leiter spinoff TV show, or an origin for Moneypenny, like how she gets to the off, because like there are some comic books that's like, there is a Felix Leiter comic book that it's just him doing his stuff, or that Moneypenny was actually an agent, and that she got into a bit of a firefight and didn't want to do that anymore, so she became the secretary. She became, so like there's all kinds of different stuff you could do,
right?
And you gotta, you know, that, I mean, they've got, who distributed this?
Bond movies have always come out through MGM.
So they have the opportunity to do what kind of whatever they want. That's not a bad idea. That's pretty smart.
Yeah. And so that's where I think we're headed. I think it's a hard reset, and they even circle back to the beginning. I think it'd be great if they set these things in the 60s. And normally, like, that's kind of expensive when you do those time period movies.
Sure,
but
sure.
But they're spending $250 to $300 million on a movie, so they've got the money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's
right,
doable.
Right.
And in today's age with CGI, it's easier than ever to do something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, look at something like Boardwalk Empire, right?
Right.
And so it's totally doable. It's you know, and again, with the budgets they have, I think you set a Bond in the 60s.
That'd be so good.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And dude, then
I'll tell you what, even de-age it and you could do it Sean Connery.
You'd have to do a hell of a lot of de-aging considering he's dead.
Well, they did it with the Fast. Put his face on somebody else's body.
Yeah.
Know?
I'm going to say no.
No, it'd be really weird.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good idea.
I think that's a bad idea.
Yeah, I think this was the perfect end to this version of Bond. I don't think there was no other. There's two ways this goes, right? He's retired with Madeline, the daughter, or he's dead,
right?
And I think this was the best possible option. This, I was thinking this might be my second favorite of this run. Casino Royale is probably my favorite. This is, I thought this was phenomenal. This was a really good ending to this story.
I think my favorite was, what's the one before Spectre?
Skyfall.
There we go.
Yeah.
I think
really
I like that
good.
One.
That was the Javier Bardem one.
Casino Royale, like that last 40 minutes, it really, once they started playing Baccarat, I was just like.
And he's getting hit in the nuts with that, like, he's sitting there naked on a chair and Mads Mikkelsen's like whipping that weird thing and keeps hitting him in the balls with it.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah. That's the thing that happens.
I just remember
movie.
Really liking the first hour and being, because I don't normally get into Bond movies, and I was like, oh man, this is really good. And then like the last 45 minutes or so, I'm just like, this is a snooze fest.
Yeah, the part dominated by Rami Malek.
Yeah.
Did not work for me.
I got
you. And I get that. I was not a fan either. Like I wouldn't go as far as to say that I still overall enjoyed the movie, but I enjoyed it in spite of him.
Sure, sure.
I think I gave it a 6 out of 10 on my website.
Okay, I was nicer.
Dang. I'm like 8.59.
Yeah, I gave it like 4 out of 5.
Oh, well, so we're all doing on a 10.
Sorry. On the radio, they make me do 4 out of 5.
So that's 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. Yeah, right. We talked about math, like 4/3 bank or whatever.
Yeah.
Fifth pie bank.
Yeah.
Really, Paul, with the pie callback? Not necessary.
So there you go.
Yeah. So, well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Paul. You can find me on harrisonline.com.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and don't forget our Patreon, Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. You can get all that extra Halloween content right now.
Yeah.
And the next week, we will actually talk about the new Halloween.
I must have paid penance with Venom. Just for the next 2 weeks, because like these were two of the movies I've been looking forward to. No Time to Die for what
Didn't
seems
you pay
like
penance with that musical you reviewed a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, but Venom was bad. Like I could at least tolerate Dear Evan Hansen. Venom was so bad.
Venom was really bad.
Real bad.
So, but anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, Contessa Teresa DiVincenzo.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Enzo dies.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we all